And thank you for the choir for providing that moment that moved us all to that space. Thank you. And Larry for providing the music to do that. So this morning's New Testament lesson comes from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 16, which can be found on page 927 of your pew Bible, if you would like to read along. As Paul continues in this letter to the people at the Church of Corinth, we come to the next part of the letter as it continues to build off of the two sections which we have read over the past few Sundays. Paul is reminding the people of the church at Corinth that the head of the church is Christ and Christ alone. It is not the leaders in the church who bring salvation to the people, but that salvation comes from our identity found in Christ. And this salvation, as the letter continued and we explored last week, is brought through God's wisdom and not the world's wisdom. This wisdom is seen through Christ crucified, which shows a way that is very different than the ways of this world. This is a wisdom that goes beyond any wisdom that the world can teach or try to help us know. Paul continues to build on this and bring the message further as we come to our passage this morning. So listen now for the word of the Lord. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish. But we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understand this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are spiritually undiscerned. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The word of the Lord. When you do youth ministry, Lessons are often expressed and experienced in creative and adventurous ways. At least that's what you tell yourself. Sometimes this works. Sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes it can go deeper than you could ever have imagined. But one thing's for sure, you make sure your insurance policies are up to date. One of the lessons I did with a group of youth that has always stuck with me was the time we did an obstacle course in our youth group room. We set up the room with a bunch of tables and a bunch of different areas, all making this one course throughout. And we had one youth wait in the hallway as we set this up together. And then we brought the youth in with a blindfold. And we had the other students sit on tables and hide behind things and start yelling at different times about the different stressors in this person's life. Not to try to put this person into therapy or anything, but to remind us of the different things that try to get us off of our path in our spiritual life. And then we had someone walk right beside them. And without touching them, direct them on their path while talking in a very quiet, calm voice. So as they were walking, they'd hear from this side over here, "Don't forget you have that final due. Don't forget about all those papers you need to read and all those pages you need to read." And on this side, we'd hear, "What about this boy you like? And what about this other thing?" And all these different voices screaming and yelling. And walking very slowly next to them, you'd hear, "Take one step forward. Take another step forward. Now turn slightly to your right." And the point of the small voice was to not ever raise your voice. Do not keep your voice, and we gave this instruction to the youth who was leading them, never to touch them, never to raise your voice to the same level as the screaming voices, but to remain constant, to remain level, and to remain present. After the experience was done, we asked the individual who was going through all of this with the blindfold on what their experience was like. They said that when they entered the room, they were so overwhelmed by being blindfolded, first of all, and not knowing their surroundings. This room that had been a place of comfort for them for so long had all of a sudden seemed so foreign. And at first, they couldn't drown out all the noises that they were hearing, and they were all overwhelmed. And they longed to reach out and touch something and feel the thing that they would, someone who would just guide them through with their hand. But after a moment, and a couple times of just standing still, they could hone in on that small voice that was constantly there and guiding them. The voice that was, in many ways, once they honed in on it, was able to overcome all the noise and distractions and just be a present, calming voice. And once they did that, they said it seemed like not a big deal at that point. We got through, and it seemed to take no time at all. The exercise from beginning to end ended up actually taking 40 minutes, which when you're a teenager is actually an eternity in youth group time. But when we were talking it over, they said it seemed like no time at all because they were so intrigued by it all to see how it would happen and how it would play out. Because when we open ourselves up to the Spirit of the Lord and that still small voice in our life, we can be filled with the wisdom to guide us through the mazes and through the shouting devils and the chaos all around. When we're present and realize that's what's happening. You see, Paul has just expounded for the people of Corinth that the words he has brought to them have not been his words. The things he has shared with them have not been his ideas and principles. In all this, the wisdom that is shared comes from one place and one place alone, and that place is the gift of the Holy Spirit abiding in us and showing us what it means to be loved in and by God as we are filled with that wisdom and knowledge. This isn't a knowledge that comes from books. It isn't a knowledge that comes from working hard in a field of study that we may love or have learned through. This is a deep-seated wisdom that is bestowed upon us as a gift by the Holy Spirit and only by the Holy Spirit. It is through the Holy Spirit that we have any knowledge of God's work at all. Hear these words again in verses 10 through 13. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. This is God's Spirit at work. The Spirit searches everything in us and exposes the depths of us to God and brings us into the depths of God. The Spirit reveals to us the reality of what truly is and the reality of what truly can be. The Spirit brings an intimacy of God into us that we can never fully reveal outside of God. And when we surrender to God in the Spirit, being open to the Spirit, the body of Christ can be powerful in its humble, beautiful work. As a commentary on this passage says, words surrendered to the Spirit are gone. Their consequences are not measured, their effectiveness not calculated. Words surrendered to the Spirit in a sacred trust with God. The Spirit can do what the Spirit does. We speak the redemptive word of Christ, and the Spirit does the redemption. We speak to create space for the word of Christ to be heard. We lose control. We cease coercion. We surrender to what God wills to do with the message of redemption. When we surrender to the leading of the Spirit, we let go of the ability to control and the misbelief that we ever had the control in the first place. When we surrender to the Spirit, we say that we are putting our lives in the hands of our Lord and not in the hands of the world. And in this, we are going to speak the words of Christ to the world so that God's wisdom will be heard of Christ crucified. And it will be heard from the body of Christ. So, that's all well and good, but how do we do it? How do we make ourselves open to the Spirit? How do we surrender to the Spirit? The Spirit doesn't work on our demand. Because then, once again, we're the ones in control. We cannot make the Spirit be ours. We have to be the Spirit's. But there are definitely ways that we can make ourselves open. We can make ourselves present. And one of those is being part of the body of Christ. You've all done that today by being here, being in worship, being present to God. Other ways we do this is by creating space in our lives that are not filled with our lovely cell phones, filled with televisions and music, and filled with all those other things that are not bad in and of themselves, but are distractions. But taking time to be present in silence, present with God, and open to what God can reveal to and in us. When we create these spaces, we can be filled with the Spirit and then know that that still small voice will be present when we're surrounded by those shouting devils, those shouting voices of the world, and those shouting things that seek to pull us from the core of God's love. When we are present to God, God is always present with us. So when we walk through life, when we walk through life, which can seem like an obstacle course at times, we can train our ears, our hearts, and our minds to listen for that still small voice, to be present there rather than being present with the shouting devils and chaos all around. And in that, true wisdom is to be found and can speak volumes to the world all around us. And we choose that wisdom instead of choosing to be in the wisdom of the world. So friends, listen closely and may wisdom abound for you. In the name of the Creator and the Redeemer and the Sustainer. Amen.